Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to look at verses 18 and 19. Now, we're kind of catching this mid-conversation. Isaiah is a prophet that God is using to teach and prepare the nation for what God had planned. And in this particular sort of part of this discussion, we find that God is telling the nation that he is going to restore them. He is going to create something new for them. And there were some things that they needed to do in order to prepare for that. In fact, when you look at pretty much the whole book of Isaiah, you find that this is sort of the 30,000-foot viewpoint of that book, is that God is preparing the nation for their future. And in order to do that, they had to come to terms with their past, had to come to terms with where they were currently and what God wanted for them. Now, as we begin a new year, and I said this last week, but I love being able to start a new year in God's house. If I had my way, it wouldn't matter what day of the week New Year's was on, we would start it in worship service, because I feel like this is an opportunity that God provides for us to do much like what he is teaching through the book of Isaiah today, and that is to be able to let go of some of the things that are struggling in our lives and be able to let God start something new with a new year. Amen? And some of us this morning come in desperate need of that. We've been struggling. We've been trying to keep our head above water. We feel like sometimes we're drowning. There are all kinds of things that are going on in our lives that are distracting and robbing us from that walk with him that we know he wants us to have. When you look at the Old Testament, actually, we know that the Jewish New Year was not celebrated essentially the way we celebrate it in modern America today, but it always was the beginning of a new chapter with the close of the current chapter. And God always meant for the New Year celebration, as it's orchestrated in the Old Testament, to be one of preparation for what's on the horizon, what God has for us. That's my prayer for us this morning. Before we jump into this passage, and I'm going to read verses 18 and 19, and then I'll come back, and we're going to look at three ways that we can prepare for God to do something new in our lives as we begin 2023. Let's pray, though. Father, thank you this morning for the power of your word. Even though it was written so long ago, it is still so relevant and important for us today. And I pray for every person here, every person watching perhaps at home or who would be listening to this sometime this week or in the weeks to come, that God, what they would feel in this passage is your presence and your tugging in their hearts as believers to begin to use this as an opportunity to evaluate, much like you would have led the nation in the Old Testament to evaluate at the beginning of a new year where they stand with you. Are they in that right relationship? Are they doing what you've called them to do? Are they living in a way that honors you and fulfills the name that they carry as a child of God? And probably many of us fall short in that, Father. Probably all of us to some degree. And I pray as we begin reading this passage together that you would fill us with your presence, that you would begin to work in our hearts and draw us towards you and to see the things that really matter and forget the things that don't really matter, and to focus on you, and that this would not just be a one and done thing for us today, but that this would be the beginning of a new start for us this year in our walks with you, making you a priority, making a commitment to your church to attend, to be able to be on mission for you, utilizing the gifts and the talents that you've given every one of us as believers to fulfill, God, the calling that you've given us, and to do that, as we said, in a way that honors you. Now, Father, I pray for the lost person this morning. That all sounds strange to them and very foreign, I'm sure. So my prayer for them this morning is, we think about starting something new as a believer, that they would understand the call in their heart to finally accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, to accept the forgiveness that you have laid out for them, and to be able to start their new journey in their walk with you. There's nothing else in their life that matters as much as that right now. So I pray as we walk through this passage that your Holy Spirit would put conviction in their heart and lead them to that point where they're ready to accept Christ and follow him, to make him both their Savior and their Lord. Bless us this morning, God, as we read your word. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. It begins in verse 18. And it starts this way, and this is really a direct command, but forget all of that. Now, as I've said, we've caught this mid sort of conversation. What Isaiah has been led to do by God in the former part of this chapter, and really the chapters leading up to this, is he's recounting to the nation all that God had done. And now he tells them at the beginning of this, sort of a new chapter, something new that God is getting ready to do, that they need to forget all of that. In other words, listen to this. I want you to think of that in this terms. Forget living in the past. Doesn't matter what God did 10 years ago or 12 months ago or what he did last week. What's important is what he wants to do right now. And that's exactly what God is trying to get the nation to understand, because they were guilty of sort of bringing up the past in order to justify where they were. And God always... Certainly, he wants you to celebrate the things that he's done in the past, but he is always concerned with the present and where you stand with him. Now, he goes on in the second part of verse 18. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. In other words, God is not finished, and we understand that statement and the gloriness, the glory of that statement and what God is going to do in the nation. The Messiah will come through that nation. And it will bring redemption to the world and will usher in a whole new era called the New Testament as we celebrate it today. And so they had no comprehension of what God was preparing them to be a part of as a nation. And we today have no full comprehension of all that God wants to do through us, this church, and through believers. He goes on, verse 19, our last verse. For I'm about to do something new. Hang on to that word new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? See, I think the nation was guilty in the sense that they were failing to see all that God was doing to prepare for this moment. And as God was ushering in something new, there was nothing they were going to do to stop it. It was on its way. It's going to happen. But the reality was, is that they were missing the glory and the blessing of being able to see it. And listen, too many believers today are blinded to God's handiwork. And it may not be that we don't see all of it, but we've become so immune to it that we're not blown away by some things that God does. We see him working, we see his handiwork, and too often we're like, well, I just kind of expected that. Oh, great, he answered that prayer. He showed up at that right moment. And we've lost sort of the awesomeness of experiencing God's handiwork. And I think the nation was guilty of that. They were not seeing it with the right eyes. And some of us today are not seeing it with the right eyes. He goes on in the latter part of verse 19. This is our final statement. I will make a pathway through the wilderness. That wilderness, of course, they knew what that meant. You and I would interpret that today through the difficulties, through the struggles of life, through life itself. Not always does it go the way it should. But God will see us through that. He will create a pathway. And then the latter part, last part of verse 19, I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Man, I love that statement. If there's an underlining statement in this passage for me today, it's that one, and that God will always show up, even in places that he's not welcome, even in times where we neglect to see him, in times when we don't even realize how much we need him, he will always show up, and he will create the solution to our problems if we're willing to see it. Now, as I've said this morning, we're going to come back and sort of digest this passage and look at three things that really help us in preparing right now at the first day, the first few hours of 2023, a new year. How can we prepare ourselves for the something new that God wants to do in our lives? And listen, I believe that. I don't believe it's a if he's going to do something new. I believe he wants to do something new. And so it's a matter of, are we ready for that? Are we adjusting? Are we preparing our hearts for that? And there are three things that we learn in this passage. First one is this, and it comes in that very first sort of shock statement when he tells them, but forget all of that. In other words, what we're going to look at in point one, you'll see it on the screen, let go of the past. And I'm not saying that you forget and that you don't remember the things that God has done, but as I also think about that, we need to also let go of some of the problems we've created, the sins that we've committed, the struggles that we've brought in our own lives. If God has forgiven us and seen us through that, then we need to quit carrying them around like suitcases. We're carrying the past, sometimes the problems, the issues, the sins in our lives that we know that God has dealt with and forgiven, but we as believers sometimes refuse to let go of those. We're quick to say, yes, God, I know you forgave me, but I'm not willing to forgive myself. And so we carry those things around. And so all that weight now begins to weigh us down and keep us from fully letting go of the past. Do you know this? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. That when God forgives our sin, he throws it as far as the east is from the west. Amen. He forgets it. He sees it no more. He doesn't remember it, not because it didn't happen, but because he is now looking toward the newness in your life. Why can we not do the same? We struggle with that. And sometimes that's nothing more than Satan trying to keep those skeletons exposed in our lives so that we can't truly experience the newness and the freedom that God has for us. And so when he tells the nation, forget all of that. Quit living in the past. Quit pulling the problems and the bad experiences that are part of the sinful world, bringing the sin and the struggles and the weaknesses in our lives. And sometimes it's the opposite of that. Well, I used to be close to the Lord. I had a relationship with him that was strong. And I remember all of the things that God used to do, but I'm sort of dry now. What does he say in that last statement in verse 19? We're kind of experiencing our lives as a dry wasteland. God's not there. He's there, but we're refusing to let him create the rivers in our lives. And so we're living in the past. Sometimes it looks something like this. Well, my dad was a deacon and my mom was a Sunday school teacher, and I came to church every day, every time it was opened. You're living in the past. While all that's great and that's part of what makes you who you are, you also understand that God deals with you. Not what your family did or the status that your family has. He wants to deal with you and in your present life. While all those things are important, they're no more important or not any more important than what God is wanting to do in the present. And so that's why I think it's important in our journey to prepare ourselves for something new. It just tells us right here that we got to let go of the past. Sometimes that means forgiving ourselves. Sometimes that means dealing with God on a particular issue. Sometimes it's already been dealt with, and we need to accept that and come to terms with that. Sometimes it may be you forgiving somebody else for the wrong they've committed against you. And just like your own sin, you're carrying that baggage around, and it's weighing you down. It's keeping you from being able to experience the newness that God wants to bring in your life. We have to let go of the past. Number two is this. And we see this as he sort of walks us through verse 18 and then into verse 19. And the key word here is see. Look what he says. For I'm about to do something new. That's a promise, by the way. And then look what he says next in the second part of verse 19. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? So that second thing that we need to make sure that we're doing in preparation for the newness that God wants to bring in our life is that we need to see the hope of the future. This is sort of the horizon clause for me. Sometimes it's difficult to see too far on the horizon, and what we don't see is where faith begins to build in. Because I know based on what the Bible teaches me, what I've experienced in the past, what I've seen him do in people's lives, what I've seen him do in my church, I know he is going to show up. And I know that he is going to prepare the road, the pathway. He's going to create rivers through the dry wasteland. He's going to create a pathway through the wilderness of my life. I know that. It's not something that I doubt. I believe it. It is certain. And so I have the hope of that future, the certainty of that future. I mean, when we think of the word hope, when you begin to sort of bring it into the modern sense, it's not the sense today of, well, I hope that happens. I hope Alabama won yesterday. Well, they did. I hope this happens. When we talk about hope in a biblical sense, it is certain. It is certain that it's going to happen. There is no doubt. So I need to see the certainty of the future is the way we could read that. And that's where we understand that God has left and moving forward, and it's a matter of a question, are we going to join him in that? See, I think that's where part of the problem with the nation was. God was moving forward. He was bringing them into the newness of what he was doing. His plan, his divine plan was being fulfilled, whether they understood it fully or not, or accepted it. But the question for them is, are they willing to be a part of that now? See, God is doing something new. He's doing something new in many of our lives. He's doing something new in this church. He's doing something new in our nation, in our world. And so it's not a question of whether the something new is happening, or as we might think of as the hope of the future. We know he's doing things. The question is, where are we in that? Are we willing to step on and be a part of that? Or are we going to be a distractor of that? Or are we going to say, well, that makes me feel uncomfortable. You know, I remember what it was like when I was faithful and involved, and I don't know that I can do that now. And we start making excuses of why we don't want to experience the hope of what God has given us. We become the distractor. And it may not be that we become an obstacle to other people per se, but we become an obstacle to what God wants to do in our lives because of, you just name it, all of the excuses and reasons why we don't want those things. And here's what gets me as a pastor. Sometimes people will come to you and say, well, yeah, I just don't experience God like I used to, and I want to experience. And then so you start saying, well, you know, the first thing you probably ought to do is be faithful in your Bible reading and prayer. You need to spend time with him. Well, you just don't know, Pastor. I'm just so busy. I just don't have time to do those things. Okay. Well, then, you know, you probably ought to get involved in church. Start pouring your life into church and let the people in this church pour their lives into you. Well, you just don't know my schedule. See what they're doing? They're saying I want something, but they're not willing to do the things that it takes to do that. What are they doing? They're creating obstacles. They're creating excuses. They want something new in their mind, but they're not willing to come along in their actions and let that happen. Listen, the world is full of all kinds of excuses. And in my years in ministry, I've heard a lot of good ones, a lot of bad ones too. But none of them really compare to what God really wants to do. It's a choice we have to make, just like we talk about today, something new. It's a question not of if he's going to do something new. It's a question of whether or not we believe that we can be a part of that. And you can. He's brought you to this point. He's brought you here this morning to experience this passage, to read this passage. And my prayer is that this now becomes sort of a catalyst for you moving into the new year. This is something that you just can't let go of. You're thinking about it. You're being convicted by it. You're now sort of working through these processes because you're ready for something new. Because you're tired of living in the old and not experiencing the things that you see happening in other people's lives. It's not that God doesn't want to do it in your life. It's that you may be keeping him from doing what he wants to do in your life because of your excuses. You're not experiencing it. So if we're going to let God create something new, we've got to let go of the past, it tells us. We got to see the hope of the future. And then in the latter part, and we've kind of already gotten to this third point, but we see that I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Listen, all of that comes back to remind us of this third point. You'll see it on the screen. We have to believe that God can change you. Listen, you can't experience the pathway through the wilderness. You can't experience God creating the rivers in the dry wasteland and not be changed. So that's what he's talking about, is the change. God never leaves us the same. He is always constantly modifying and changing us into that blueprint that he has for us. And again, just like we said with experiencing the hope, there are excuses and there are reasons that we don't want that. And then we wonder why we're not where we need to be with the Lord. And it comes back to the fact that we've not been submissive to him to change us. God has the power to snap his fingers and change you whether you want it or not. But the very definition of his love is he wants you to choose that change. And when we accept that, then the power of God comes into our lives, and that is what creates the change, not you. See, some of us are trying to change ourselves, not experience the change through God's power. And you will always end in frustration when you're trying to do it on your own. I mean, I talked about Bible study and prayer. You know, I don't mean that in the sense of a mechanical way. It's not the quantity of time or opportunities in that. It's really the quality of it. And I'll be the first to admit, some probably could take longer than others and experience the quality of God's presence. I never want to get hung up on that. But it is important that we spend time letting God's word feed into our hearts so that we can grow. We can do that certainly individually, and we need to. And spending time in prayer, praying to God about things in our lives and laying them before him and learning to let go of those things. We need to do that individually, but we also collectively have to do that as a church. That's one of the functions that we have, is the growth, the spiritual nourishment, coming alongside and encouraging one another in that process, letting God use our gifts and talents to now equip others as they do the same for us. God wants to create those changes. It's a matter of being a part of that and willing to let God make those changes. And I think, again, as I've said, always, you look in Scripture, both Old and New Testament, anytime God begins to show up and does something, change always occurs. And that's the same thing in our lives. When we experience him, when we see him, when we experience something in our lives that he's doing, the forgiveness, change happens. When we make a commitment because he's calling us to make that commitment, change always now follows. I mean, life really is full as a spiritual believer. Life is full of changes. It's a constant change that God is making in our lives. He's growing us deeper in our walks with him to be more mature in our faith. And all of that is something that God lays there for us. We just have to be willing to experience that and accept that, the change. Now listen, I realize I often go a lot longer than this, but we do have the Lord's Supper that we want to put some focus on. So I've said what I needed to say. This passage is one that I would encourage you to go back and look through this week. Maybe pray through this passage in each one of these elements. We've really just scratched the surface this morning on this. There's so much more going on in this story that I would encourage you to look at. But listen, we need to, as we begin this new year and as we're about to take the Lord's Supper, what a perfect sort of outflow of that. We're going to have an invitation first. And as you always know, as we begin to take the Lord's Supper, what we're saying publicly is that we are right with the Lord. That's why I always think an invitation has to precede the taking of the Lord's Supper. Because we need to give opportunity for people to come and pray, for people to make things right in their walk with the Lord. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move into that. We'll have our invitation, and then at the end of our invitation, then we'll move quickly then in the taking of the Lord's Supper. Let's pray together. Father, as we come now to prepare to take the Lord's Supper, as we've looked and walked through this passage just briefly this morning, And we've seen the call of this passage that you want to create something new in our lives. It's a constant. It's something that is always happening. It's a question of whether or not we want to be a part of that, or are we putting down all of the obstacles and excuses in our life to allow you into those areas of our life that need to be changed. Father, as a believer this morning, we come. We said this at the very beginning of our service, and we say it again right now. Empty us of who we are and what we are, and fill us with your Spirit right now. Give us the power through your strength to be able to seek you right now and to ask for forgiveness. Maybe there's areas in our lives, a relationship, a habit, or something that we keep struggling with in our life. And this morning, it's about giving that over to you as we symbolically start this new year today. Letting you start that something new with us being in a right relationship with you. Now, Father, I go back to the lost person that we mentioned at the beginning. Father, if there's somebody here or watching who's never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, then I want to encourage them right now under the power of the conviction in their heart for them to come to terms with that and understand what's happening. Christ is calling them to salvation. That's about asking for forgiveness and then inviting Jesus into our hearts. Now I want to lead them in a prayer. It's not a magic prayer. It's not a ritualistic prayer. You don't have to recite every word. But I want to encourage that person to pray in their hearts, in their own words, as I guide them. And it's something like this. Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm in desperate need of you this morning. I've realized that. I need forgiveness. And so I accept what Jesus did on the cross, and I ask for forgiveness in my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And then, Father, I invite Jesus now as my Lord and my Savior and want to live for you now, Father. Now, if you've prayed that prayer as we go into this invitation, if you're here, we want to encourage you to come down. We have folks that would want to talk with you and explain what that means. If you're at home watching this, then I want to encourage you, call one of us here at the church, or perhaps reach out to somebody that you know is a believer and tell them that this morning I prayed to accept Christ. It's so important that you now begin the process of being followed up and getting a part of a fellowship. It doesn't have to be in this church, but being a part of a community of believers so that you can now begin to grow in your faith and experience what that means. Now, Father, for the rest of us, the altar is open as it always is every Sunday. But God, maybe this morning you're laying something on our hearts that we need to come and just spend time praying about, giving over to you as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper in this new year. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?